shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And we've had General Galen Shaw on with us this evening to talk about this blowout in the Orange Bowl. This was the Orange Bowl this evening in South Florida, in which the University of West Virginia defeated Clemson by a score of 70-33. A lot of people have wanted to have a skunk rule for a long time, and I don't know who they are. I don't even know if they're talking about college ball. We did want to bring on Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization to talk a little bit with the general and with you about what the skunk rule is, what it represents, how it can be implemented, perhaps at the college level, and how it is implemented at this the level, for instance, of Little League or T-ball. And Ms. Dooley joining us from Western Estates, California. Bobby, how are you?
We're doing really well, Phil. Thank you.
And General Shaw.
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
Okay. Before we get back with you, General, Bobby, tell me how the skunk rule is used at the level of T-ball, Little League, and so forth.
Well, so we have a T-ball league here in Western Estates that is comprised of our 8-year-olds on down from 3 years of age to 8 years of age. These are children who obviously are learning the game, who need to understand the rules, and certainly we don't want to subject them to anything that is going to be dangerous for them or is going to be overly strenuous, anything that could harm them at that age. So we do keep score, but only in a very informal way. If another team is, for instance, at bat because they've been hitting the ball a lot, then we decide to end the contest at that point, and we award a trophy to the team that won, but we also allow the other team to share in it. We simply say that we have decided that we've all had enough fun. We're going to go and do something else, and we end the game. So,
but you do acknowledge that there's a winner.
We acknowledge that there is a team that wins the trophy, but we also give the other team a trophy. So if there is a winner, we try to blur that as much as we possibly can. Because the point, Phil, for us as mothers and as parents, for those children who are playing T-ball, who are involved in the competitive baseball programs at that level, what we want to do is teach those kids the fun of the sport, the fact that they get to wear the uniforms, the fact that they can have their picture taken with their parents, the fact that they, get to go out onto a field and play. This is what we stress. And I know that when in speaking with the general, a lot of what we've been talking about, obviously, General, you would want to adapt, but not at the the level that we do.
Phil, talking with Ms. Dooley, the philosophy of not emphasizing the scoring as much is one that we've tried to bring to the NC2A for a number of years now. Now, she's right. We would not simplify it as much as they do for the children.
Well, I mean, she's talking about little kids that they don't want them to get hurt. You know, they don't want them to be overly pressured.
But much of what I'm talking about for college players is the same. We don't want the players to be pressured. We don't want the players to be hurt. But it's at a bigger level. So the challenge that we have is to implement a form of the no scoring rule that they have in T-ball and at the smaller levels, to implement that at the college level, so that it is satisfactory to the fans and to the media.
All right. So, in other words, a lot of what people have been saying here, and Bobby, I don't know how much of it you were listening to.
Well, we were listening to a lot of it, Phil. And what I heard people saying was that they thought that it didn't teach manhood.
Yes, they were saying that to leave a player out on the field to be humiliated beyond repair teaches manhood. And I will tell you from a personal standpoint, Phil, when I was playing in college, and I played for the University of Colorado back in the 1960s, and I went into the military following a brief career in civilian life. But when I played football, and we were involved in a game against Minnesota, where the score was very lopsided, I think it was a shutout at the half, and they had scored 40 points or more. I can tell you that I didn't sleep. It was very difficult to eat. It was very difficult for me to be around people. I had a difficult time doing normal bodily functions, in fact. That was what the effect of that had on me.
Well, now, isn't that... that sounds abnormal.
No, Phil, no, it's not.
What do you mean, no, it's not? You're talking about the T-ball level of a competition.
No, it is not. It is not. That is a very normal thing. It happens to a lot of players.
Phil, if I could just jump in. This happens when I've seen Little League players where they do score, and they do keep score, and they keep score very stringently, and I've seen my own sons have a very difficult time after losing a game. Normal, you were talking about bodily functions, just a normal daily elimination was difficult for them. Keeping their food down was difficult for them. These are very real things. And so in keeping scoring out of competitive sports at that level, we give the kids a chance to live, to breathe, to enjoy sports as something that is a celebration, that involves people, that involves these beautiful uniforms, the interaction of players, and is not necessarily this gladiator performance.
But I think, yes, that was what I was going to say, Phil.
Well, all right. I mean, again, I have to go back to what I said to both of you. The idea that there is a in other words, keeping score somehow affects one's ability to eliminate. It affects one's ability to go to the bathroom. It affects their ability to eat. I think that's abnormal.
It's abnormal if you force young people to play an athletic competition where the score is being kept, you know,
No, but I mean, even if the score is being kept, even if it's 30-0 or 40-0, for somebody to have to endure a loss like that, they go home and they don't eat and they don't have a bowel movement, you're saying, for days and days and days. I think there's something wrong with that kid beyond the score.
No, Phil, you don't understand, and I know that there are a lot of mothers out there that would agree. When you force a child to endure an athletic competition where they actually keep score, and your child is on the team that has lost by a lot of points, or even a very few, that child is devastated.
And there's very physical ramifications of that.
There are physical ramifications. There are unbelievable physical problems that have to be overcome. And so this is what we're talking about.
You're honestly telling me now, General, that you support this woman's view that keeping score
is, at the college level, Phil, a counterproductive to the athletic, to actually the well-being of the student.
Keeping score at the college level.
And we saw an example of it tonight.
All right, General Galen Shaw returning with us. Bobby Dooley on the line with us as well from the Western States Parent Teacher Organization. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. As we continue talking about this blowout tonight in the Orange Bowl, 70-33, should there be a skunk rule? Should they even be keeping score anymore in some of these college games? These and other questions up for grabs tonight. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. world-famous Bill Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is General Galen Shaw. Bobby Dooley is joined from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And Ms. Dooley, you've entered into this discussion, which I think is it's a worthy discussion, but you've just dropped into the middle of this discussion the rules that you use in T-ball and at the smaller levels, the younger levels of Little League, where they don't keep score.
That's correct, yes.
All right. But in general, you are considering this. I don't think that this is what we were talking about at the beginning.
Well, no, Phil. We were talking about the blowing out of Clemson by the University of West Virginia. But if this kind of thing is going to be tolerated, yes, we should bring into college football some concept that we don't need to score these games. We need to make sure they're played within the confines of decency, because if you are going to destroy a team and then force them to go out and play another 30 minutes being laughed at...
No comments about the Jewish commentators, please.
Well...
Please.
All right, but they're being laughed at by the commentators, laughed at by the people in the stands. Jokes are being made by if you see Jay Leno, you know he'll... and they do that. And so... if it means getting rid of scoring, I think it would stand a two-year test at some of the middle levels, perhaps the higher levels, of college sports.
No scoring at all. And what do you think that does to the Bulls, to the sponsorship?
Phil, we are talking about the well-being of our young people, not whether some of these interests, you didn't want the general to mention Jewish interests, but... they are involved.
I'm not going to have any discussion at all on this radio show tonight but with either one of you if you bring up Jewish anything. Do you understand?
No, I'm just simply...
I'm not even going to go there, and I don't want you to simply do anything.
Well, this is a free forum.
No, it is not a free forum. I'm the guy that says where people get to go and where they don't get to go with the conversation.
Well, that's fine, Phil. I thought I was on a program that respected free speech.
I echo that.
Yeah, I do respect free speech, not the gratuitous slamming of an ethnic group just because you happen to think they're up in the broadcast booth or they are sponsoring a lot of the bowl games. Let's go to Mick on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Mick.
Yes, sir, Phil. It's, I listen to you every night. But what I've got to say is that playing sports, and I played sports when I was little, builds character, winning and losing. And everybody can't be a winner, and you have to teach kids that when they're little so that they don't grow up thinking, I don't know, it's just ludicrous to me that you would think to play a sport.
What do you mean? You're
going
to go out into the business world and you're going to lose in the big. You're going to go into the business world and you're going to get. People are going to not give you a contract or they won't hire you. Are you supposed to sit and expect that is going to happen? No. You won't. I wouldn't accept that. So why accept it when you're playing sports?
No, sir. And when you don't accept that, what do? You stand up, you brush yourself off, and you go back and you go at
exactly.
It a little bit harder the next time, correct?
That's what we're saying, Mick. What we're saying is this. I'm not going to be in any game that tells me I'm a loser. So just... get me out of this game, and I'm going to brush myself off and go to a game where I'm a winner.
That's what we're saying.
Huh?
Well, exactly. My kid's always a winner to me, as long as he tries. It's not about the score. It's about playing the game and playing it with
character. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's not about the score.
But
so you agree with us?
No. I agree with the fact.
You do agree that we shouldn't keep score, correct?
Let the man finish.
No, I'm saying you keep score because you've got to have a winner. Otherwise, you're not playing for anything. And if you're not playing for anything, then why bother?
That you brush yourself off, just as you said.
Right.
And you go find a game where they're not going to keep score.
That's what I... be a winner.
Then it's not a game.
And don't involve yourself in any game that would call you a loser.
What is that supposed to mean? That's a lot of feel-good talk.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. What do you mean feel good talk?
Well, what does that mean? I'm not going to be in any game that's going to call me a loser. I'm going to go find me a game where I'm only a winner. What is that? That means you're quitting everything.
No, you're not allowing people as the general said, to just use you for kicking practice. Go ahead and spread.
Socialism.
Boom, boom.
I beg your pardon?
It sounds like socialism. It's just like...
Yeah. What is it with you? You know, you people with your socialism, you really... What do you mean socialism?
Well,
you don't
what
even
I mean
know...
is that there's no... There's no rich people. There's no poor people. You just give everything to everybody.
That's yes, there are. Crap. There are rich people in socialism.
Playing a game. You don't just everybody go out there playing. You're not playing for anything. You're playing to win. Otherwise, you go out there half-heartedly and don't even try. Well, you know, we're not winners. Why should I try?
I'm not ready to put myself. I'm not going to put my child out on any field of competition where he's going to have his brains bashed in. And he's going to have to crawl off that field and read in the newspaper the next day that he lost 70-33. I don't think so.
Well, that's what the game's about. Mick, thank you for your call. I mean, that's what the game is. It's unfortunate, I guess. Although for fans, it's fun. You know, what do you want me to say?
So you're saying it's fun to watch a man get mangled on a field of football 70-33.
I don't know if it's fun. I mean, it's amazing sometimes to see how dominant one team can be over another. It can get to be ludicrous. It can get to be humorous. It's what it is.
It's what it is. I love that. It is what it is. You ever hear that?
I've heard that. It is what it is. And I think it sounds so simple-minded.
You know, to me, you sound like a simple-minded clown.
Whoa, hold the phone here on me being a simple-minded clown. I'm just telling you that is the fact of what we witness in sports. I didn't create this scenario. When you win, you win. When you lose. And the spectator, he'll make his own mind up. Here is Ken on the Phil Henry Show. Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I played sports, from my younger years up to like out of high school. And I've got a son that was in band.
Mm-hmm.
And he competes.
Turn your radio down. What do you got? What do you got on in the background there? You need to turn that down, Ken.
All right. Is that better?
You've got to turn your radio down.
I'll do it, General. Go ahead, Ken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went through sports. My son went through sports. Band competitions, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they won. Sometimes they lose. But they are. It's a good life lesson for a man or a woman to learn how to win and how to lose. Because when you get a job someday, there's going to be expectations, and whether you like it, there's scores in that area too. You either perform well or you don't.
That was my point. That was my point. That these players are going to have to go back and deal with college loans and MBA and getting graduated and rush all the other pressures. Why put them through the pressure of being dragged up and down a football field by a tractor to the tune of a 40-point blowout? Why would you do that?
That's the pressures of life sometimes when you're working for somebody or working for yourself, and it's just the way life is sometimes, and it's a good learning lesson right off the get-go. None of my kids are traumatized by losing.
Well, how much did they lose the band competition by?
It doesn't matter. You either win or you...
Well, no. But how much did they lose it by?
Well, how much do you lose a band competition by? It's a band competition. There's no score.
I don't understand. No,
either won first place, second place, third place. It's not like a foot. It's just the whole nine yards of winning.
All right. Well, let me ask you. If I was at that band competition and I saw your kids... and I started laughing and pointing, that'd be okay with you then, because that would teach them character.
Hold on, Phil.
As a father, I teach my children about ignorant people. So they know those people are ignorant. Until what would you care what an ignorant person says about you? Points a laugh at you.
So if I made a joke about your kid playing the tuba, it would be all right.
You're ignorant if you do that. I wouldn't care what you said. I'm above that. So
I would be saying it about your children, though.
Why would you make fun of a kid?
Because a kid with a tuba, is funny. Think about it.
No. All right. Thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. We'll be back with more from Bobby and from General Galen Shaw here on scoring or not scoring in athletic competition. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
What they did do, but I didn't do that.
Well, we'll get into all of that. The world famous Phil Hendry Show is back here. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And on the line with me is General Galen Shaw. Bobby Dooley from the Western States Parent Teacher Organization has joined us on the subject of whether we should score an athletic competition. This is all based on the Orange Bowl game tonight and the 37-point blowout of the Clemson Tigers at the hands of the West Virginia football team.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong about that, Phil.
No, I know that there is precedent for talking about this kind of thing, but when you saw that game tonight, wasn't that sort of what spurred our conversation?
It's an example of what many of us have been talking about for a long time, and that is that when you have college sports, any kind of athletic competition among these college teams or these non-professional levels, you're going to see these scores, and the resulting mental health problems, where the player feels demeaned, where the player feels used, where the player feels like he's a piece of meat that has been used and handled, you're going to have problems.
And Bill, we're not saying that you don't keep score. We're saying some kind of moderated score. That's what the general is talking about when we're discussing the skunk rule. The idea that if the score is so out of hand that it is sadistic to have that team go back out there, then you have them leave the stadium.
And that's what I think was going on tonight. There was a level of sadism, a kind of a ghoulishness that I had thought that I hadn't seen the last of in college sports, not since the days where they used to injure players on purpose, where the entire team would get together and discuss how they wanted to break a man's skull in half.
All right. I understand. Although I don't know that any of that is afoot here tonight, or has been afoot in college sports recently. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to David on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, David. You're on with General Shaw and Bobby Dooley.
Yes. First, this is just getting kind of abstract at the moment, but my original point was that there's nobody forcing these people to get out on the field. Nobody's making these people get out there. They're doing it by their own choice and their own will.
Well, that isn't exactly true. You have to field a football team in order to fulfill the commitment that the schedule makes. There are certain commitments that are made by the television networks and vice versa between the colleges. Once those commitments are in place, you must field a team. And those players, whether they like it or not, whether they even like playing football or not, are going to suit up, and they have to go out onto that field and subject themselves to being mangled, physically mangled, for 60 minutes.
Not true. I did not want to play football. I didn't play football.
Well, what are they going to do if they don't have enough players?
Then they're not going to have a football team. So there's enough people that want to play football. People want to play, so they do play.
What about
people that want to play are going to be people that are wussing out saying, oh, we're getting beat too bad. You can't do that.
Could you?
You know, like,
I don't understand.
Say that again. I would lose my job.
When you get beat 37 points to nothing, there is medical evidence that people go through depression. There is an inability to evacuate the bowels. There's an inability.
What do you mean an inability to evacuate? You're talking about all these physical problems.
These are real, my friend, very real. And that Clemson team tonight, and they're showing, and here's another thing that I want to tell you, Phil, and the gentleman that's on the phone. They are continually showing the game over and over and over again, and they're doing it right now. They're going to show this game again. And the Clemson team will be subjected to the humiliation of seeing themselves raped, figuratively raped, in football terms, over and over again. Now, how would you feel if that was your sister?
Oh, come on!
Okay. All right, now what I want to say to you, Colonel,
what
is
would you, if that was your sister being violated on television?
Number one, the definition of rape is when somebody you know, engages in sex with you without you wanting them to.
Mm-hmm.
And
this
right here, they willingly went out on the football field. They wanted to be there. So therefore, it's consensual. It's not rape. And then
I consented to drinking beer with my boyfriend, but I did not consent to drinking beer with six of his friends. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Again, this is getting abstract. Where are you guys going with this?
Yeah.
This is insane now. You guys are pulling things out of the air that doesn't exist. Knowing they were going to play on a field with 12 other people. They knew they were going to do it. There was no question about that. Nobody thought they weren't going to be on the field with 12 other people. And they got beat.
Yeah, and they thought that they'd have a fighting chance, and they didn't know they'd be out there and get probed for three quarters. Probed and fondled. That's the point that we're making. And
what are you talking about? They had every bit as much a chance as the other team. They went out there, and their football skills were not up to the task of playing with this other team. The other team was better. All right?
Yes, and I'm saying at the half that became evident. So you say to the Clemson players, okay, we saw what happened to you. It was disgusting, and we'd like to get you out of the area so that we could begin to talk to you about it. But no, what this gentleman wants is to put them back out on the field. And it's almost like seeing a doctor put on a rubber glove and dip his rubber glove in lard. That's what you want.
No. You see, you're...
Well, I'm glad you think it's funny. I'm glad you think that's funny.
I do. I think it's funny.
At halftime, they saw a rubber-gloved hand go into lard.
And what does that mean? In other words, they've got nothing to say about it. They're about to get their asses handed to them. Thank you very much, David, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. So they had nothing...
What he is saying, Phil, is that the Clemson team came out, they gave it their best, and now it's time to do something else. Thank you. We played the game that you wanted us to play, and it was a lot of fun, and now we don't want to do it anymore. And why are they forced to? I don't...
That is the key right there. Why, if the players have said, and they have spoken, look at what we did. We're down by 37 points. This is about as good as it gets.
Well, I don't think if you ask the players, they're going to say that.
Look at the score. That's what they're telling you. God!
General,
it's frustrating.
Hold on, General. If you think it's frustrating talking to me, it's doubly frustrating for me to talk to you, I can assure you. Here is Jerome. Go ahead, Jerome. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just think that the two people that you have on there, this is just completely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
They're pulling things completely out of the air. For one, when the lady sat up there and said, I don't want to see my son get out there and get put in a sport where they can get their brains mangled, your child is more likely to get injured in your own car while you're driving down the street than they would on that football field. The other thing, when the general sat up there and said, hey, you know, I had all these bowel movement issues and all this other stuff went on. The issues that you face far outweigh what you experienced on that football field. Now, one, you don't have any physical medical evidence that says people go into depression. When we played baseball in high school or even in college and we got pummeled by a team, we didn't go into a depression, couldn't have bowel movements and everything. We practiced. We went back out there and said, you know, if we play this team again, we're going to beat them this time. Based on both of you guys' points of view, you might as well eliminate sports altogether. Yes, there are certain things when you're dealing with people like children that are 4 or 5 years old, you know, not keeping score, things of that nature, because you're trying to teach them the game.
Mm-hmm.
The same way you went for a calculus problem, You wouldn't put a calculus problem in front of a 4 or 5 year old. Because you're gonna break their spirit. But when a person becomes in college, and I believe that's what the whole discussion was about, these college athletes, when they become in college, yes, they should know better than that by now. They're competing in the sport, and if they don't compete at this level, and for the simple fact that somebody, you know, if they get beat 70 to 30, whatever it is, I guarantee if you would have stepped foot in that locker room and asked those players if they want to keep going out, they would have kept out. They like to compete. Another thing is that when you sit up there and you're playing those sports, when you play in those sports and you enjoy competition, there's been times where people have been losing by 30 points and have came back and won the game. So you can't sit up there and be
Hold on for a minute, because you're losing. What game is he talking about?
Well, there's very famous NFL games that the famous one, the Buffalo Bills came back on Houston. I mean,
what do you mean the Buffalo Bills? What is that? Is that a football team?
Yes, it's a professional.
This is the other thing I don't understand. I don't understand how you can be a general and sit up there and say something about college football when you went to war and you killed people. And then say, well, you had bowel movement issues and everything went into depression because you lost a football game, but yet you went into war and you didn't have any bowel movement when you were out there killing somebody in the war.
Well, I can tell you this, young man, when you are a general and you're in the command post in the theater of operation, you are not necessarily involved in the actual up-close killing, as you put it. We don't call it killing. We call it engaging the enemy.
I will tell you this much.
Let me just say this. This was before I was in the Army. This was when I was in college. Now, you are a baseball player. It's different. Baseball is a little bit more relaxed. You take your time. But in football, everything is pressure, pressure, pressure. And you get off the football field and suddenly realize that you can't eliminate your bowels because you're tied up tighter than a rope.
When you put somebody in there, and that's the kind of reaction, it comes out like rocks.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, thank you. Let the gentleman finish.
You should not be playing football. You should not be playing. And no way should a mother be putting their child in any sports if their child is reacting that way. They need to put them in piano lessons or something else that is less stressful to them.
I see. So you're calling me a sissy. Is that piano lessons?
When I said that, I said, well, you don't, as a mother, you don't put your child in the sport and you feel like their spirit is going to be broken, but you need to put them in piano lessons or something. This lady sat up there and said things like, well, you know, all this stuff. You're being really overprotective as a parent because you're not taking the time to train and nurture your child in a way to where they can become productive if they want to play sports or whatever. But you don't sit up there and pull them out the moment something goes wrong that they don't like.
If you look at the way children react, Jerome, and the children, and then you say to them, oh, you got a point, oh, they got 2 points, they'll spit up. I've seen them spit up entire,
But you can be seeing a manifestation of other things going on in the home that you're not seeing on that field either. So you're trying to take.
What are you trying to say that there's child molestation going on?
No, he's not saying that.
He could be verbal abuse at their home. Mm-hmm. Where the child perform the way they should be on that field. How to follow the ball to get the phone.
When I played football and tried to have a bowel movement, it came out like sand. Now, there's something wrong with a human being.
All right, you know what, General? I've had about enough that I can handle with your bowel movements. And listen, Jerome, thank you very much for your call. I got to take a break. Thank you very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with our closing segment here with General Johnson Jameson. General Galen Shaw. Where is General Johnson Jameson these days?
Hey, we get to call up Art Bell.
Call up Art Bell. Where's Art Bell these days?
Philippines.
Where are the Philippines these days?
Southeast Asia.
And where is South? Never mind. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
It's right here on the
Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And with us, General Galen Shaw and Bobby Dooley, as we wind down this discussion of the bowl game tonight. It was Virginia 70. It was Virginia 70, Clemson 33. And as it's really interesting looking at this football game. It's starting all over again. They're replaying it on ESPN. Clemson went out ahead in this game 7-0.
So what?
Well, it's just interesting to me. I bet you they were feeling real good. I'm looking at the coach. He's all excited.
Right, and so that's even worse, Phil. The Clemson players felt that they had a chance. They were excited. I'm sure they were high-fiving. I'm sure they were really feeling good. And guess what? And the coach was congratulating them. And I think that's particularly despicable because I think that coach must have had a sense that they had no business even getting off the bus.
I agree.
And that coach probably knew that, threw them into this game knowing that they were going to be destroyed, not only physically but emotionally. And you talk about someone having a laugh.
The Clemson coach is probably getting a real laugh out of this whole thing tonight.
You must really hate people.
Excuse me?
The two of you must really hate human beings to say what you just say. To say what you just said, that the Clemson coach is getting a big laugh out of this tonight. Let me get over here to Manny. Manny, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley and General Jameson. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good evening, folks. You know, General,
yes.
Thank you for your service. Bobby, thank you for your contributions to your community. Production issue there, Phil, is sometimes when Bobby recognizes what somebody's saying, you hear them over the person speaking. To that end...
I'm sorry?
Sometimes Bobby's saying, aha, you know, recognizing what somebody else is saying, and you hear that instead of what the person is saying.
Well, what do you mean production issue? Don't tell me how to run... Don't ever tell me how to run my show.
Yeah, look what you're doing now. You're getting Phil pissed off.
Don't ever talk production this or technical that. Don't do it.
Look at him getting all pissed off now.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Manny, I'm kidding around. Go ahead.
By the way, I was guessing you can't hear it that way on your end. I've had it happen to me before.
What, you're telling me that Ms. Dooley is making noise? Is that what you're saying?
No, she's being wonderful. She's actually, you know, recognizing and acknowledging what somebody's saying, and she's probably sitting there nodding her head going, uh-huh, that's right. And sometimes I hear her instead of what the person is saying. That's all.
I see. Okay, go ahead.
So anyways, to that end, first off, let's recognize that this is one of the big bowl games. I mean, a big bowl. And to that end, it was a 2-1 game at the end of the day. To that end, and unusually so, the first team to score didn't happen to win, which, by the way, turns out to be a pretty good football game. Furthermore, as one of the very few civilians that's had to go to war school, along with any officer that's going to make it past 05. Yes. The one thing you get crammed into your head really hard is strategy and tactics. And as soon as you sit in that room and you realize you're a football player, you sit there at the wonder of how much of this you already learned on the football field. And the other thing is this. I'm 48 years old. I got a 4-year-old kid who just lights up my life. And the best lessons and the most wonder I've had in life is watching her learn how to fall down, get back up, dust herself off, and go back out there and do it again. Now,
that's
here's
beautiful.
My last talking point. To whatever this thing was about what I'm going to call the Jewish question, like I said, my name's Manny, and I have no idea why somebody's faith has anything to do with this discussion. Thanks. I'll listen to you guys on the air.
Well, isn't that... So he dominated, and I still don't know what he was talking about.
He was talking about you mentioning Jewish announcers.
What are you talking? First of all, that guy started out saying about 2-1. I don't know what the hell that was. And then he started to say something about his daughter, which I don't know what she's got to do with it. And
The man was saying, what did you guys talking about the Jewish announcers have to, what has that got to do with anything?
I didn't say anything about Jewish announcers.
No, you said about the Jewish sponsorship.
I just said Jewish people like to make jokes. And
you know, General, when you got into that, I don't know whether you know, but you lost a lot of credibility with a lot of people. I'm just telling you, that happened, okay?
But
about me? Did I lose credibility too?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, with the whole sponsorship thing. And
then what was he talking about with me making noise?
You're going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what did he mean about his daughter lighting up his life?
He loves his daughter.
All right, that's it.
Well, do you have any comment to make on what the guy said?
I don't know what he said. He babbled about something being 2-1. Then he said something about the military, and you learn, at 05, he mentioned a year. And
you know what? Thanks for nothing, you guys.
That's dirty pool, Phil. I came on this program to give you my point of view, and I think I did it very well.
All right, fine. Thank you very much.
Are you going to have me back on?
I don't know.
All right, then please lose my phone number. I can only damn a man to hell once, and I think I've already done it with you, but I'm going to take a shot and damn you to hell tonight, so that means go to hell twice.
Thank you very much for that, General.
Well, you asked for it. You got it.
Yeah, we'll be back. God, Phil Hendry Show, next hour, News and Information Hour. Thank you.
Phil Hendry.
Mm-hmm.